Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, May the 23rd, Pope Francis officially puts the blessed Carlo Acutis on the path to sainthood. He encourages sisters of the Talita Kum anti-trafficking network to continue to fight the trafficking scourge and stand by victims. And a symposium on palliative care in Toronto enters its final day with a call to strengthen the network of carers to support people who are suffering and in need of hope. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis today officially recognized a miracle attributed to Blessed Carlo Acutis, an Italian millennial born in London who died from leukemia in 2006. As Devon Watkins reports, the move clears the way for his canonization.
After meeting on Thursday with Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints, Pope Francis approved the promulgation of decrees related to the causes of canonization of several men and women. For young Catholics, the most interesting is surely the recognition of a miracle attributed to Blessed Carlo Acutis. The young layman was born in 1991 in London, England, and died in 2006 in Monza, Italy, succumbing to leukemia at the age of 15. Pope Francis beatified the millennial in 2020 in Assisi, where Blessed Carlo had made multiple pilgrimages and where his mortal remains rest. The miracle recognized on Thursday is related to a woman from Costa Rica. In July 2022, Liliana prayed at Blessed Carlo's tomb in Assisi, leaving a letter describing her plea. 6 days earlier, on July 2nd, her daughter Valeria had fallen from her bicycle in Florence, where she was attending university. Valeria had suffered severe head trauma and required craniotomy surgery and the removal of the right occipital bone to reduce pressure on her brain. Doctors gave her a very low chance of survival. Liliana's secretary began praying immediately to Blessed Carlo Acutis, and on July 8th, Liliana made her pilgrimage to his tomb in Assisi. That same day, the hospital informed her that Valeria had begun to breathe on her own. The next day, she began to move and partially regained her speech. On July 18th, a CAT scan proved that her hemorrhaging had disappeared, and on August 11th, Valeria was moved to rehabilitation therapy. She made quick progress, and on September 2nd, Valeria and Liliana made a pilgrimage together to Assisi to thank Blessed Carlo Acutis for his intercession. In the decree released on Thursday, Pope Francis announced that he will convene a consistory of cardinals to deliberate the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis. I'm Devon Watkins.
And Pope Francis on Thursday sent a message to Talita Kum, an umbrella network of anti-trafficking initiatives led by religious sisters. As Joseph Tullock reports, the Pope urged the network to continue to stand by victims, listen to them and help them get back on their feet.
The Talita Kum anti-trafficking network, which is in its 15th year, is currently holding its second General Assembly just outside Rome. Pope Francis began his message to the Assembly by saying that he was very grateful for Talita Kum's work. Founded in 2009, the network is now active in more than 90 countries. "We need to continue along the path of what you in Talita Kum have always done," the Pope said. That is, standing by the victims, listening to them, helping them get back on their feet, and together taking action against trafficking. "This is," he added, "no easy task, but during these past 15 years, you have shown us that it can be done." Human trafficking, the Pope stressed, is a systemic evil, which therefore requires a systematic, multi-level approach. "Trafficking is fueled by conflict, climate change, and socioeconomic disparities, and especially affects migrants and women," the Pope observed, adding that the criminal strategies behind it are constantly evolving. However, Pope Francis stressed, "We must not be discouraged. With the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ and the dedication of so many," the Pope said, "we can succeed in eliminating human trafficking." On Wednesday, Talita Kum's General Assembly released a final document. It outlines three new priorities for the network over the next 5 years. Firstly, advocating for systemic change in the face of new vulnerabilities. Secondly, a survivor-centred approach. And thirdly, broadening the organisation's collaboration and partnerships. Drawing his letter to a close, Pope Francis said that he would read this document carefully and promote it. "Dear sisters and brothers," he concluded, "I join you in thanking the Lord for all the work he has enabled you to do over these years, and I offer you and your communities my heartfelt blessing." I'm Joseph Tullock.
And the Pope on Thursday morning also addressed a group of Sisters Hospitallers of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Daughters of St. Camillus on the occasion of their respective general chapters. Both congregations are devoted to assisting the sick and the poor. Welcoming the nuns in the Vatican's consistory hall, the Pope urged them to be as audacious and mad of love for the people they assist as their founders were. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Opening his address, Pope Francis encouraged the nuns to heed the example of their founders, pointing to their audacity and to the holy madness of love that drove them to found their congregations in the late 19th century. He began by recalling the extraordinary story of Maria Augustias Jimenez, the Venerable Maria Josefa Recio, and Saint Benedetto Menni, who, inspired by the charisma of Saint John of God, founded the Hospitaller Sisters of the Sacred Heart in 1881 in Spain to assist the mentally ill, a revolutionary idea for those days. Since then, the congregation has extended its assistance to other forms of suffering and poverty in a community climate in which everyone participates and contributes to the good of others, the Pope noted. Pope Francis went on to recall St. Giuseppina Vannini, who co-founded the Camillian Sisters to assist the sick, inspired by the charisma of St. Camillus de Lellis. The Pope noted that this Italian woman saint, who had suffered herself several health issues, was animated by her personal experience of suffering, which, as she often repeated, is overcome only by love. As the two congregations carry out their respective general chapters, Pope Francis therefore urged them to let themselves be spurred by the same audacity. Dare without fear, and let yourself be questioned by the new forms of poverty of our time, which are many, he said.
Osate senza timore e lasciatevi interrogare dalle nuove povertà del nostro tempo.
I am Lisa Zingarini.
A symposium on palliative care organised by the Canadian Catholic Bishops' Conference wraps up today in Toronto, Canada. Entitled Towards a Narrative of Hope, the event aims to strengthen the network of those who work to provide this vital and compassionate service and to raise awareness as regards the role of palliative care to promote the dignity of the human person in times of illness and at the end of life. The Pontifical Academy for Life is promoting the symposium, and Pope Francis has sent a message to participants, thanking them for their witness of closeness and solidarity to those who are suffering. Monsignor Renzo Pegoraro, Chancellor at the Pontifical Academy for Life, told Vatican Radio what the symposium hopes to achieve.
One issue is following this combination of people that are here, bishops and doctors and people involved in palliative care, to create a more large and stable network and cooperation, because palliative care needs this kind of approach, multidisciplinary and very interactive and strong cooperation among different disciplines, different institutions, all people that could be involved in this culture of palliative care. So this opportunity of this symposium is very interesting, because here we have people coming from many places, from Canada, that is also very important. It's a big, big country. And so to have people that came here, and the opportunity to integrate and to share experiences, particular expertise, specific work in the medical or healthcare setting, but also in a pastoral setting. So try to combine all these experiences, expertise, and point of view in the goal of define a framework of activities for the future, how to improve the access of palliative care in Canada, how to inform the people about palliative care, how to support all initiative to improve palliative care. That is really to create an horizon of hope for many ill people and the family and the community.
And that was Monsignor Renzo Pegoraro, Chancellor at the Pontifical Academy for Life, speaking there to Christopher Wells at a palliative care conference in Canada. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, 91 Palestinians have been killed and 21 injured in Israeli strikes in the past 24 hours. More than 35,800 Palestinians have been killed and over 80,000 have been injured in the Israeli military offensive on Gaza since October the 7th, when Hamas militants killed about 1,200 Israelis and took more than 250 others to Gaza as hostages. Meanwhile, Egypt said on Thursday it remains committed to helping negotiate a ceasefire and hostage release deal in Gaza, despite doubts about its mediation role. It's reportedly in touch with Israel about setting dates for new talks. Egypt, Qatar and the United States have been attempting over months of stop-start talks to strike a phased agreement between Israel and Hamas that would lead to a truce in Gaza and the gradual release of Israeli hostages held in the territory. And seven people were killed in Ukraine's Kharkiv region on Thursday as Russia intensified its attack in the area. As thousands of Ukrainians flee the Russian offensive around Kharkiv, which is Ukraine's second largest city, UN agencies and their partners are providing support to people on the move. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, said vulnerable children are among those arriving at a humanitarian hub in Kharkiv. Speaking to UN News, Munir Mamadadze, UNICEF head in Ukraine, describes some of the challenges faced.
So far, close to 11,000 people were evacuated from the frontline areas, mostly to the Kharkiv city. The humanitarian hub, we were able to establish child-friendly space. We also support particularly children that are in foster families because they are more vulnerable than others. There are also children with disabilities or children that live with disabled parents. I talked to some of the children also. So situation is very difficult and immediate needs are being addressed thanks to the collective response of the UN and partners on the ground and humanitarian NGOs. But of course, there are many challenges that will need to be addressed in the mid and long term.
And that was Munir Mamadze, UNICEF head in Ukraine, speaking there to UN News. And French President Emmanuel Macron has said French soldiers will remain in New Caledonia as long as necessary after more than a week of unrest triggered by French plans to change electoral rules in the Pacific Island territory. Macron arrived in New Caledonia's capital on Thursday amid continuing protests over voting reforms the indigenous Kanak people say would dilute their vote and undermine their struggle for independence. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. Meanwhile, visit vaticannews.va and follow us on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio in the Vatican. I'm Doni. Bye-bye.